we're just going to wait a couple more minutes while you guys get the latest update.
Okay, great.
So while we're doing that, let's talk about the next meeting. I don't do no more meetings because, like I said, the price keeps going up. But probably the next meeting probably should be in Anchorage. Last time we had it at City Hall.
Well, we had the railroad.
Railroad, yeah, see, I couldn't make that one, so. You guys want to figure out where we want to do the next meeting, and I would think we do it soon. So we'll leave it up to Colleen.
I would suggest if Ernie's going to put together this report and he's able to put together a draft for review within a week or two at the most, the group might meet again to have any recommendations to that draft.
So maybe by next Friday, if the numbers work out, or worst case scenario, the following week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we should loop Ernie in on that. Ernie, would you be able to prepare a draft within a week or 2 weeks?
Ernie, are you still there?
So maybe we give him 2 weeks? Mayor Cottle? Give him a week to put the report together and then a week for this group to review it. So
okay.
May 18th, we meet again?
That's a Thursday or Friday?
That's a Friday, although we could do a Thursday if you want.
Can we do it on Thursday?
I got to come here on Thursdays.
Huh?
I'll be out of town, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm just one person.
I really need to stick to Friday.
Are you on then too?
Leaving that China trip.
Maybe we should see you next week.
Can we do it by next, or the Tuesday or Wednesday of that week? When do you leave? You leave on?
Technically early the 19th.
What's the Tuesday of that week?
15th?
Yeah. Are you going to be around on the 15th?
Well,
could be, hopefully.
What about you, Lamar?
Yes.
Who's the voting members?
I could reply by email.
Yeah, we're not.
I think the voting members should make that decision. I'm not sure who those people.
Everyone at this table except for Brian is a voting member.
I'm a non-voter, it says non-voting.
So Lamar.
Surprise me.
Three votes, it says.
Give me that sign. So can you send out something?
Yeah, for
on the 15th.
Yep, for the 15th.
Anchorage and
1 o'clock in Anchorage.
And I'll pick on Anchorage because Anchorage isn't here. So if we do it in Anchorage, we'll do it at City Hall. Then we'll make sure the mayor's there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did the mayor have a designee this time?
No, he's never had a designee.
Yeah, he did the first meeting. He had Ona Brows as a designee. Do you know Craig? Did Mayor Berkowitz have a designee?
That's why I've been picking on Craig, because I thought he was. I'm going to tell Mayor Berkowitz that Craig spoke on his behalf.
I'll probably send Brad Swartz.
Okay. But we do it on Tuesday or Wednesday that week. I mean.
Yeah, Tuesday the 15th.
Tuesday the 15th?
Okay. 1 o'clock in Anchorage. If they can't host it, then we can host it.
So this is the Tuesday.
And then the following week is. Was he still in school?
Yeah.
You've been cooking one day.
I have been for these meetings.
One more day. Okay. So, Rachel, so everybody on the phone, did you get a copy of the latest update?
Yes.
Okay.
I have it.
Okay, are we ready to proceed? Okay, I was hoping Ernie would be back on.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, in front of us, Ernie and everybody on the phone, we've got a copy of the bullet point 1, 2, and 3 with subsections in them. And Ernie, and that's what you were talking about, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So, anybody want to make any comments on bullet point 1, 2, or 3?
I'd like to know what happens if the legislation just decides not to reimburse the last of the road. But if we're gonna start the pilot project.
Railroad.
When are we gonna start the pilot project? October? The legislature will already be adjourned and you'll need then the next legislature to be the one to appropriate the money.
I believe the way that it's set up is the legislature would appropriate the money to the governing body, whatever that ends up being. And then they would contract directly with the railroad. So the money would go to the governing body before they could execute.
I understand that, but if we're gonna start the project, the pilot project, this October.
They're not.
Is that right? We're not.
August.
August.
We have to purchase. It's purchasing.
Well, there is funding, sorry.
Yeah, it's a funding.
And that's the point.
It's gonna be a full year, so it'll be August. 2019 would be the first time you may possibly.
2020.
I thought it was October this year.
Well, no.
No.
The way this works is there is capital work that has to get done before we can do anything.
Okay.
And so the $6 or $7 million of this is capital work that has to get done in front of starting an actual service fall of 2019.
And if we don't get the money in this legislature for the capital, then everything's.
It just goes off.
Another year or never. Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then at number three, I'd like to delete that local initiation and just put state, so it's clear.
Local, does that mean state by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say state.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I move to delete local and substitute state.
I meant that to mean rural.
You meant that to mean state.
Our budget's closed.
Yeah, but this is next year. I mean, we're already talking about 2 years.
Budget's closed for 5 years.
Does that help you?
Wait a minute. I'm not too sure about the federal money either. I mean.
I'd take that bet.
You know, one thing that Ernie could probably speak to.
Is the federal money we get now? I mean, let me rephrase that. That's it. Isn't our federal money coming into the state now on moving passenger tourism, stuff like that already?
You have spending federal money on this is timing because you triggered NEPA. When none of that environmental process is figured out of this.
I think one thing that bullet point three would do for you is there some grants that you could apply for in the future that eligibility would be significantly contingent on how much effort and money the community's put in upfront? And so if there's no community involvement upfront, even the small amount of $500,000, then it's harder to get those grants from the federal government in the future.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What the city of Wasilla is doing, is that counting? Or do I gotta reinvent the wheel? I mean, we spent over $1 million just buying the property for our end of it. I mean, so we've been putting money in already. Go ahead, Ernie.
No, I mean, absolutely would be part of the equation. You know, it's what the contribution is from the local community, both capital and development. The grant would have to be developed and it would have to be applied for and everything else, and that's a certain amount of work that would rest with the local community. But what Wasilla has put in already would count as capital for sure.
My other.
I was just gonna say that this is talking about the Joint Powers Fund, which is talking about hiring those people. So your $1 million that you bought for land would not be available to those people, right?
If you were showing a local contribution over a couple of years while you developed the grant, the fact that the locals put up $1 million in property for parking and other amenities would certainly be considered a local contribution.
Well, but the way I read, The way I read number three, it says shall recommend that the Joint Powers Board fund with internal funds, meaning no federal money, a small team. So
you wouldn't be able to use federal money for it.
Right, but then if we don't allow it to be state money, then that means local money, and so that is hiring the people.
You can use state money, you can use local money. You just can't use federal money
right.
to apply for federal money.
I understand that, but what Colleen said is that they want to look at the community buy-in. Bert's already spent $1 million on his piece of property. That's not going to hire a planner or one of these professionals. So that means that, sure, there's community buy-in from Wasilla's point, but what community is going to buy in for hiring these 2 to 3 people?
Well, yeah, I need to know. Who is the Joint Powers Board? It's not in existence now, is it?
No, it has to be developed.
So.
Right.
And funded.
And funded. That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of.
Right.
Where's the funding coming from? The 2 or 3 transient professionals.
Could it come from the state?
Colleen, I thought, said community, and maybe I misread her, what she said, but to me, when she said community, I felt, you know, was the Mat-Su Burl area.
Basically, it's anything that's non-federal fund. If it were state funds, if it were a mix of state and local funds, anything, as long as it's not federal, it could be part of the application and considered the application.
And you agree with that, Colleen? That when you say community, that includes state.
Right, so.
Okay.
Yep, it's the difference between taking that entire line out, striking that, and just noting that we, you know, that's going to help us in the future.
Okay, all right. I just want to be sure community means state.
Cynthia.
Ernie, this is Cynthia. Just conceptually, could DOT employees who are working on transit or transportation planning, or Muni employees who are working on transit or transportation planning, could they fulfill these positions, these 2 to 3 transit professionals, or is that a conflict or what?
No, it could be anybody. I mean, however the participating community wanted to do it, you could do it with existing people. I'm just saying that if they're doing that work, they're not doing some other work, so therefore that's a contribution and that cost. But it can be people who are doing it now. It doesn't have to be brand new people.
Right, because on our commuter rail committee, since the beginning, we've had transportation planners, both from DOT and from the Muni.
Sure.
So if they're planning transportation, including transit for the Muni and DOT, it seems like we could do this, and then we would have to come up with another $500,000, because like I say, those people come to our meetings.
But this is more than meetings. This is full-time. My interpretation, $500,000 for 3 people, that's full-time work.
Well, that's what I don't know.
Not what I'm here. Brian, you want
to? As far as I'm not sure how.
Okay,
this
Marcy,
would be so.
You do.
I wouldn't get hung up on whether it's individuals or anything else. But if they're existing people and they then work on this, and it's the existing people, whether they're state, municipal, borough, city, whatever, are spending 30% of their time on that, they're still, you see what I'm saying? It's a contribution, right?
So it's not three, it's not three full-time more people.
Understand that they'll be working on something else.
Keep adding that some more trees in the fall.
And that's 30 or 25% of their time that's not spent on other stuff that people do.
Well, and they already have.
I just wanted to iterate. A lot of joint powers authorities down here in California can be set up the same way, where an existing transit agency makes people available to work for the JPA. So that is a standard way to move ahead. And they only work, and they may time, they may work 10% of the time, but, you know, the point is that they're there, and they exist, and they can be kind of seconded from another agency.
Archie, you want to make?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So bullet three is looking beyond the pilot program. So that's not needed for the pilot program. That's if you're going to be sustainable and want to go after a federal project. That's what bullet three is talking about.
Well,
that's
what
I'm saying.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Archie, because number two says the task force shall recommend that the committee interested in commuter rail service develop a charter for the joint powers board that would receive and expend funds described in one above. And one above is the one where you're getting the money appropriated from the legislature to reimburse the pilot program.
Well, that's correct. So the board is going to get the pilot program going with the legislature. In addition to that, that same
right.
board could go after federal funds in the future to do something permanent.
I understood you to say, though, that we didn't need to deal with the Joint Powers Board right now.
No. It's the
okay.
it's the way bullet three is written is for a future sustainable project. That's what I'm saying. Not that you
not
don't need the board.
Not the board. Okay.
Yeah, you need
all
the
right.
board right off the bat, so the railroad
yeah,
doesn't pay
right.
money.
Okay.
And who is that board? I still have.
We don't have anybody yet. Unless you would like to take that on right
no.
now.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to run for re-election,
I mean,
you need a place to land.
No.
I come to these meetings. Apparently, like the news.
Yes.
No, you need to get re-elected so you can build interest yourself.
That's right. That would be community support there.
That's it. The board still has responsibilities and time, and if you're going to receive money, you're probably going to need an accountant.
But that can also be done in-house. I mean,
yeah.
I'll reiterate this again. We keep hanging enough stuff on the Christmas tree, the tree's going to fall over. So I thought the goal was to start the pilot program. How much money do we need to do the pilot program? Get the pilot program up and running. So I have a question. So. And I'll use the Palmer example because I think that's a good example. Before it was subsidized or somebody co-sponsored it, whatever word you want to use, the passengers coming out for the fare every year on the train was basically a handful. And once this, it was partnership, mm-hmm. sponsored, whatever, and it was $15 round trip, there was hundreds of people a day coming out on the train, right?
Mm-hmm. Sold out trains.
Yeah, I mean, so the process, the system works depending on what, depending on what happens on that end, what happens on this end,
mm-hmm.
And just use the fare example, and what the $15, I'd pay $30 so I didn't have to go into traffic every day to get out here to the fare, $50, but anyway, so I mean, it will work, we just need to figure out A, B, and C, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want to get hung up on trying to do too much too fast because it won't go anywhere.
We need to secure the funding first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work on that. That's newspapers here. But anyway, there's ways to make that happen. So it's not done yet. So
wait till he has a ball game to go to, so wait till he
leaves. Okay, we'll wait till he leaves. So I like that. He's got the sign that says P for press, so I like that.
So I've got a question. On 1B, the task force should recommend a pilot program if undertaken. I don't know why we need if undertaken in there, but be funded as follows. Alaska Railroad would operate the pilot program at cost. I can see where Mayor DeVries was. Let's appropriate the next sentence, sufficient funds to operate a pilot program and reimburse Alaska Railroad for those operating costs. You're not talking about starting up without the funding, period, are you?
No.
Exactly. This is kind of funny wording, so.
Do you want to get paid twice?
It would be help our profit margin if you paid twice. You're
killing me, man. I'm going to start charging a toll to go through the store on all the other
So cost versus the markup change would be the...
Well, what
would be
what we've got...
Part of it board,
well, what we've got is we've got, you know, pay a guy $10 and then you've got markup on that to deal with the administrative overhead and taxes
mm-hmm.
and all the other garbage. We put together all the stuff we put in here
has our standard allocated overhead rates attached to it, which is attached to everybody else.
Okay.
And what we would propose, every year DOT audits our overhead rate for work that we do for DOT, and it goes up and down every year depending on, frankly, how good of a year we had. And we would just use that. So.
But at the same time, isn't the state owned the TransUp?
Yes.
Okay. So I mean, if the state decided not to pay the overhead, they could still do it without paying the overhead, right?
No.
They're mandated to pay the overhead?
We're mandated to make a profit right now.
Right, I understand that.
So
but you're saying you're gonna do it at cost to get the program up and running, but you would like to eventually get reimbursed.
We have to get reimbursed. That's just part of it.
You always have to get reimbursed.
I mean, the bottom line is, okay, I pay somebody $10 an hour, just hypothetically. So I have to pay taxes on paying them $10 an hour. I have to provide them health insurance. I have to have a guy to go buy the administer the health insurance. He needs a building to go to work in. The guy that has the health insurance has to have a building to go to work in. They both have to have computers, so now I have an IT department. So that's where that overhead goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is technically a cost associated with everything. Just because I pay the guy $10 an hour doesn't mean I bill him out at $10 an hour.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. But
now what?
I won't get an argument.
Well, so what happens is we have that allocated overhead that's applied basically evenly across every train on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you were, you know, Wasilla Steel Company, then we go and we mark up a profit on top of it, you know, pick a number, 8, 10, 1,000,000%, whatever we think we can get. Well, what happens is that last step where we figure out profit on top of that doesn't happen.
But it does include the overhead. The cost includes the overhead.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I don't hire any more people, I'm paying the same amount out anyway, it's just where the cost gets shifted.
Not necessarily, because then what you've done is everybody else is basically subsidizing you, because right now it's distributed across everything. It's just like you have a city manager right now. Which one of your borough residents that pay taxes is paying that city manager's salary? It's the same thing. They all are. It's some microscopic percent of what they pay in total, but it's just figured all in.
Lynn, cleaning costs for the cars, I think all kinds of contractual. So these cars aren't even being used, but then you're using them year round now.
Right.
So they got all kinds of costs, and that's part of the $4 million for one train.
But I also would assume they would keep all the money off the ticket sales too.
Well, what I would actually figure is that somehow goes back to the Joint Powers Board.
Yeah.
Because what you're looking for, if you really want us to break even, right? What happens is, you know, we send you a bill each month, and then you've got a different pile of money over here that's ticket sales each month, and then you just
pay the bill.
And you wind up funding the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether that happens, you know, at your accountancy, or whether we set up some auditable thing within our accountancy to make that happen, you know, those are contractual mechanisms that we deal with, frankly, all the time. And we get accountants arguing with each other.
Go ahead.
Well, when I look at this new list and I look at the old recommendations, I prefer the old recommendations and totally delete number two, because they're clearer. Number one, you recommend the pilot project go forward based on the last railroad plan for the startup 2019. I guess you'd put 2020 or.
We would need to go back in there and adjust it for our labor rates, fuel, adjust for whether, you know, our overhead may be higher. Actually went down last year from when we figured this, so those overall costs.
I'd like number two totally deleted, then number three recommend the goal of the pilot project to be, you know, AB.
Mm-hmm.
Four, fine, which would be number three, and recommend funding from the state of Alaska consistent with your flowchart. And really, that's. And get something to the government. And I agree that there should be two stops in Anchorage, and there should stay there. If we're going to stop at the railroad station, and the goal is to go to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And keep this really open and broad and simple, and all this stuff about task force boards, and that's way over my pay grade.
I think those are hurdles we're going to overcome if we get the funding.
Right, I think we need a simple statement of goals and letter and to the governor, to the Senate.
One thing that was part of the task of this task force was to come up with a governance structure. And so if not,
I'd recommend somebody else other than us.
Yeah.
Because we don't have this expertise in that strategic type.
And there's no money to hire anybody.
I mean, I think Mr. Piper and you folks could figure that out, because it shouldn't be us.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
Yeah. Houston's got all that sales tax.
I mean, that governing board, I guess we, it has to be solid as a rock. Who's going to receive that money and stuff? I think Commissioner Lucan should be able to come up with that detailed plan pretty quick.
Commissioner, are you still on the phone?
Did you say that? Yeah, I didn't hear.
He said that you would accept being responsible for this.
You'd be the governing body, by the way. But come up with an idea of who that is, because I'm not sure quite how that's going to work.
Well, just to be clear.
Right. I'll reserve comment on that until I talk to my boss.
Okay.
I'll talk to him too.
We'll put a good word in for you.
Is the governing board the same as our operational staff? I don't think it is.
It's not.
So you can have a governing board with folks appointed here, but you still should have a staff, executive director, a finance manager.
Still got to write the checks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they.
And that's not going to be us. That's way above our pay grades.
It feels to me kind of like, and Craig can kick me under the table once when I say this, but it feels like a Metropolitan Transit Agency sort of thing, right? Where you've got the interested communities, you have a representative, but then you have some sort of executive director or somebody like that to just manage the day-to-day, is what it feels like.
Which could be assigned by the government.
And it could be under DOT, it could be under Alaska Railroad. Right. We're just saying that we're more of an advisory board on what we want to see, right?
I guess. I think we just got to get something to the governor and to the Senate real quick. Something well-worded.
Well, this is Commissioner Lucan again. I think Ernie Piper's recommendation of some kind of a joint powers board, or I just had referred to me by Ann Brooks. In 2011, and Cynthia might remember this. I mean, there was a study done that recommended a regional transit authority. I mean, those kind of entities, I think, are much more realistic. To actually have the government's responsibility for this type of entity.
What do you think about that?
I would agree.
Didn't you tell me there was some problem with the Regional Transit Authority, Walmart?
Well, it gets complicated with the politics, and I think it's one of those things that grow out of a successful pilot program in terms of how to move forward. I think if you try and you formulate a complete structured power, like this, the task force or a RTA, it's going to bog down real quick as an RTA. That once there is a demonstration that people want it, the public and the community wants it, and they start saying, why can't you do more, we want more, then you can go back and say, this is what is needed to be able to do more for funding or the governance structure, and people will understand it. You start talking that stuff now, and it's conceptual, and we all fall over.
To me, the best thing to do would be just simply have one from one person from DOT, one from railroads, possibly one from PMATs, two, three people that are going to be that initial receive the funding.
My only concern with that is fiduciarily, it this board is going to contract with the railroad, I think it would be kind of awkward to have the railroad on that board. I think it could be like this, where someone's sitting at the table listening in, but we really don't have the power to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody else, I don't, maybe Mayor Holter has it, but I don't have the staff, not, I don't have the expertise for us to run a train set. I mean, if you want us to be there once a month and be at the meeting to express our concerns or our safety, whatever, I mean, we could do that. That's not, I don't have the staff for that. And I don't want the money to pay for it.
Well, historically speaking, I think the way these are set up is in that contract, you were contracting us to run a train from point A to point B, you know, so many times a week, blah, 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 blah,
right.
Blah, 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 right? And from a governing standpoint, your interest is whether we're doing that or not, or whether you want us to do more or do less.
Right.
And again, I think if you have sort of a managing director or something like that that can just deal with the day-to-day, then from a governance standpoint, it's really just more of an administrative thing beyond that. If we aren't performing or things are going awry some other way.
I mean, I don't tell you how to do the train now, stopping and starting and whistle. But I mean, if I had a concern, if you trust me, I'd be at your front door saying, look, I think we should be doing something different.
Sure.
But I mean, I don't see a lot of change in that. So anyway, go ahead. Who was there on the phone?
It's a contract relationship. You know, you don't have to have a big staff with the Joint Powers Board. It's just the entity that the sponsor that receives the money from wherever it comes from, and then says, oh, hello, that's the railroad. I have this $8.2 million and some engineering money, and I'd like to run a pilot program based on the plan that you put together. We're going to contract with you, and you're going to do it for us. Here's the money, and here's the performance standards. And then the railroad says, thank you very much, and then goes and does the work. That way, the U.S. railroad is not receiving state money or local money or anything else. It's receiving money from a joint entity. It's a strictly contractual relationship.
Yeah, and that's absolutely correct. And the reason why I think the Joint Powers Board or the Joint Powers Authority is an attractive concept, not only because of the contract with the railroad and telling the railroad, okay, well, you've got this great plan, you know, we'll pay for it and we'll see if it works or not. But I think it's a useful model to get up and running because it doesn't require a lot of enabling legislation or anything like a transit district would or a regional transit authority might. It can be established by interlocal agreement. And it can have a thin staff, and the mission of that thin staff is to work with the railroad to get this service up and running. And so not a lot of manpower is needed to do that, but it needs someone, it does probably need someone to spend a lot of time making sure the details are right.
And we don't need that for the startup. I mean, that's down the line. We still don't need that at this time for the pilot, correct? I mean.
Someone's going to have to do the work. You know, that's the thing. I mean, even for a pilot project, there's a lot of detail that the railroad will insist upon and look to you for answers for. And you know, you need someone, at least one or two people, I would think, even on a part-time basis, to keep an eye on it, make sure everything. Goes off without a hitch.
Right, but can people
let me weigh in just a minute. I mean, it's very similar in my estimation to the Kinnickerheim Toll and Bridge Authority that was set up, in that they created a small staff to manage that project. And again, I'm not advocating one way or another for it, but I'm just trying to give you an example of, that type of entity or structure that Ernie and I think who else is advocating for this, but ultimately that's the idea here. Again, the Department of Transportation is not staffed to manage this. Now, this is something this and I suppose that's a potential recommendation of this board. But at this point, you know, we are taking staff out of Hyde to support this the task force, and we're happy to do it. But you know, further level of detail that will be required, even to run a pilot project, is going to require additional people, whether it's with our department or whether we just, you know, create this joint power board.
I agree with the commissioner there, and the fundamental point that I'm trying to make about this is that the communities need to be the ones that A, have some skin in the game, B, have some direction about how they want this to be run. Particularly for the pilot program, and I'm just speaking as a from a standpoint of public policy. You know, it's not, the pilot program is not part of DOT's statewide transportation plan. It's not in its funding plan. And I would really, as much as I like the commuter rail pilot project and the commuter rail in general as a concept, I think that it is unwise to take program funds that are already programmed within the state transportation plan and move them over to this pilot program when we don't know whether it'll work or it didn't. That doesn't mean that it's a bad idea to do the pilot program. It just means that the money should come from some way other than DOT's program funds. Secondly, one of the real geniuses of the Organic Act that created the Alaska Railroad Act in 1985 was the fact that the railroad corporation was to remain independent from the legislature, from the Executive Budget Act, from direct appropriations, and there's a clause there in the Organic Act that says all railroad revenue shall be retained for railroad purposes. And the whole reason behind that was to make sure that the railroad could be run like a business, and that it wouldn't become another political entity. It has responsibility to the state of Alaska, but it's not a part of the state government. So that's why I say that there should be an intermediary that is constructed of the local communities, however you want to put it together. Those who want to have the commuter rail become a sponsor, receive the funds from whatever source they get them from, and then essentially you could contract with DOT to have DOT staff do it with some of that funding, and then you contract with the railroad to provide the service. That little triangulation, I think, is important from a public policy standpoint, and I think it would also strengthen your case for, at the end of the pilot program, to say that we've got a joint community entity that really wants to have this service.
Okay, I guess I'm just getting confused that wasn't brought up 2 months ago when we started this. I thought our goal was to make sure there was funding in the budget, or there was funding available from the state for approximately $6 million to start and to get the equipment ordered, and then we'll be able to do a pilot program by October, September of 2019. So are you saying now that we can't go forward unless we have staff on board? Or if I come in with a check for $6 million, that's not gonna do it? Is what you're telling me?
Not at all. I just think that the recipient of that check should be that joint powers board. And then you distribute the money as you see fit to make the service run.
Or it could be another government agency that gets that and just passes it through too, right? I mean, we can work that out. You guys aren't even here, so we can work that out. But I thought our goal was to come up with the money to do the pilot program, and that up until the last few weeks here, that was our goal, to come get the money for the pilot program so we can get equipment ordered, so we can start the pilot program, and then once we had that money secured, then we can start working on the rest of the nuts and bolts, right? I'm just trying to do the timelines here.
Yeah, but I the legislature chose not to fund it.
That's not done yet. That's not over yet, so, okay.
Well, then, shouldn't the legislature decide to fund it, then the money just could go ahead.
What's good? Correct me if I'm wrong, unless somebody in here has got a big checkbook, but I can't see anybody sitting around this table or on the phone coming up with a $4 to $6 million. So it's got to come out of the state, right?
I would say that would be the most logical source.
Ernie, this is Cynthia. I'm wondering how did Connecticut and Utah run the railroad through the state, and why are we limited, or why does it have to be a joint powers board?
Okay, I know a little bit about that. Connecticut does have a rail program, and Utah does have a rail program. There's something called the Utah Transit Authority, and I don't know exactly how that's established, if it's by legislation or not, but it might be a ward of the state. It's just how they decided how the programs evolved over time. In California, you have the opposite going on. You have the commuter rail and also the corridor services all running under joint powers authorities.
Well,
and California, the money ultimately comes from, let's say, the inner city, the corridor services. The money for that is coming directly from the state. But for the other JPAs who run the commuter rail agencies, the partners that are in the joint powers authorities cover the operating costs less figures. It's just how it evolved here. And
okay.
They're just different.
First of all, who's speaking right now? Who is just speaking?
My name is Justin Fox. I do commuter rail planning for AECOM.
Yeah, well, I still, as someone who's been involved with this, you know, since at least 2000, I really wonder why it has to be a joint powers authority. Why it can't just be the state of Alaska, or you know, the state of Connecticut, or the state of Utah. I just I want to know more about that.
Well, it certainly could. I mean, the Connecticut DOT runs what they call CT Rail, and it's entirely done through the state of Connecticut DOT. They use some state money, and they also use federal money to do that. In California, which is a very workable program from Sacramento to Oakland, it's Capital Corridor. That is one joint powers board. There's another one that deals with the rail from Sacramento down to Bakersfield. They receive a variety of state and federal funds, and then they hire Amtrak to run that service. And that's what I'm suggesting is a different way. The whole point is that from a public policy standpoint, unless the communities receiving the service have involvement in terms of how that system is run, you're less likely to get a responsive service to the customer.
Okay, and trust me, we all agree that we will have involvement.
Right.
It just,
right.
I think the question becomes money. Mayor Halter, go ahead.
I just want to make a motion that we recommend approval of the pilot project, that vote one in the early draft recommendations. Second recommendation be the goal of the pilot project, that would be A and B is listed. The third one would be the outcome of the task force report to include the conceptual model for sustainable service into the future. An application to pay up to funding. So I want to and get a letter to the governor and to the Senate that we recommend that this pilot project go, and it's going to have to be funded at $6 to $7 million level, just to get the pilot project going.
Right.
And all this stuff about joint boards and somebody could provide us with a plan for that.
We can work that out.
Yeah.
We need to get the letter done and sent in.
Yeah.
So that's my motion. I make a motion we recommend the project will go forward to the governor and to the Senate.
I'll second.
Okay.
Do you guys go ahead? I just wanted to add one other thing. This is Commissioner Lucan. I think the point that Ernie is making, and I'm trying to make as well, is, and you guys can certainly, take a discussion about how we work the governance. But I think I would recommend that
that you know, those options be included in your report to the governor, and also recognizing that regardless of which entity, you know, whether it's a joint powers board or the Department of Transportation Public Facilities or the Alaska Railroad, which is the entity responsible for rail service in the state, regardless of who that is, that ultimately is, you know, managing the governance of this this commuter rail effort, it's going to require additional resources in the
future.
The realm of people.
But that's in the future, right, Commissioner?
Well, I mean, I would say, yeah, not too distant future if we're going to set up a pilot project in the next year.
Well, I guess, you know.
I think it just needs to be stated that the tax force recognizes that these things have to happen for us to move forward.
Right. I mean, I think the task force could take on the issue of a governance board at some point in time in the next year. You know, I just think right now we've got to say whether or not we want to do the pilot program, whether or not we want to seek funding to the state, which that's where we're at.
I just,
the governing board, we could work on it. Okay.
If the funding comes through, then the task force will start to work the process. Exactly.
But we do need to also say that we recognize the fact that those things do need to happen.
The recognition, I have no problem with that, but that's, you know, I don't know exactly. I guess we have some experts to figure out a board for us.
Ernie, I just don't understand why you say that commuter rail dollars have to come from somewhere other than the DOT program funds.
Well, they don't, and that's a decision that the state of Alaska will make. I'm just saying that from a transit plan standpoint, that if you have a long-term statewide transportation plan that identifies funds for certain projects or certain initiatives, you have to change your statewide transportation plan to divert those funds.
Okay,
then do that for a pilot program. I don't think that's wise. I think that the pilot program, I think, should be approached as getting appropriations in the legislature based on public support, and that those funds be expended to run the pilot program. I don't think that if everybody wants to look at other sources within DOT, that would be fine, but that's not my decision, obviously.
Okay.
And I just don't think from a statewide transportation planning standpoint that that's the wisest decision.
I want to call a question on my motion.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. And then go ahead with your motion, and then I have to say something.
Okay. He's calling a question.
I want to call a question and have an actual vote to see if we should move forward with something to the government.
Right. Well, I'm going to browbeat this thing to death. And, I'm here for 15 minutes, and I'm out of here.
Right.
So I've already been here.
I'll call a question. If you want me to reread the motion,
I'll
do it.
Yeah. Good.
I've just moved that we recommended the governor the pilot program with funding according to Mr. Lindemuth's finance chart. And try to start up date would be 2020. That's
right. 2019.
I guess the three bullets that I...
It's 2019.
Yeah. But I don't
it's the three bullets on the minus two on the initial draft.
If we want to put in that recommendation that the governing board is to be determined.
Let's make it real
so that's
clear.
My
yeah.
To recommend to the governor that the pilot project should go forward and that the funding should be sought and to implement the finance chart.
Okay. Well, sorry, just a second. But is there any opposition for the call of the question,
Mr. Chair? I report to a governing body that is a five-member board, and we haven't had a meeting in 2 months, so I have to abstain from the vote.
That's fine.
I haven't got direction for that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want you getting fired. Anybody else propose a voting? Okay. I don't vote, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so Colleen, can you write down who all voted for? So,
would you say who voted for again, please?
Everybody.
Everyone's here.
So everyone? Okay, thank you.
I'm not voting member. You haven't voted member yet.
Okay, I didn't realize you.
He's based it on Craig's.
Mine says I'm a non-voting member.
You're appointing tax board member.
I think on the original appointment it says non-voting member.
Yeah. Remember, I get three votes.
We should have had George a couple hours ago, it was only two votes.
Okay, so Colleen, you got recorded that we all, that the voting members all voted unanimously, except for Craig.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay. Cynthia, go ahead. So the motion carried.
Right, yeah, and I'm fine with the motion. But I just want to really stress that this whole thing got started because we wrote letter after letter, Lamar and I, about trying to include commuter rail in the long-range transportation plan of this state, as well as in the statewide rail plan. The DOT ignored us and ignored us and ignored us. That, to me, commuter rail should be part of the long-range transportation plan. All this time, we're always considering it a pilot project, which is fine. It needs to be part of the total.
Well, the old commissioner did that. The new one's going to take care of us.
Well, that'd be great if that happened. But he was there when we wrote all the letters, and they were ignored and ignored and ignored. That's why we wrote to the governor, and that's why we have this task force. Okay?
Well, let's have some public comment on the agenda.
Okay, so who's going to write the letter? Ernie, you going to work on the letter?
I shall do so for you.
Okay, and then how about next Wednesday? Can we all meet next Wednesday? No. Is that too soon for you, Ernie? Can we get this done in a couple of days or two or three days?
Very easy for me to do.
Okay, I'm just worried they're all going to get out of session. I mean, I don't know if it's going to make any difference sending the letter down to session or not, but... I agree with everybody else, sooner the better. So if we get this done by next Wednesday, then we can have another meeting in Anchorage next Wednesday at 1 o'clock or not?
We had originally set it on the 15th.
We set it up the 15th. I've already got doctors.
Okay, so 15th is...
Okay. Just have the chair sign the letter.
Okay.
Make a motion to have the chair sign the letter.
Yeah.
So we've got to be...
I'll second that.
So
with the return email that those of us have... been able to read it over and say,
yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to be the only one going to the gavel. No.
Oh, yeah, you're
in. Okay. Okay, so we're going to meet 1 o'clock next on the 15th in Anchorage. Site to be determined. Colleen will tell us where to meet.
Yep.
Okay. Cynthia, did you have anything down? We'll go to public comment. Cynthia?
No, I already said what I had to say.
Lamar? No. Craig? No, I won't write you out. No, okay. Sir. Brian? Mayor Halter? Mayor Greaves?
Ms. Thompson?
Okay, anybody in the public want to address us now? Anybody? Go ahead.
My
Mr. Haberman.
Up here for a bike or something.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Excuse me, I don't have the clock started until you start writing.
Nobody's got a clock.
Don't get long-winded.
Oh, wait.
We'll cut you off.
No, no, do I need to be here for you to hear me?
No, go ahead. No, you're close enough. You stand by, and then I'll go to the guys on the phone. Go ahead.
How long do you want to speak, or does it matter?
I have a timer.
Yep, we'll give you 3 minutes.
My name is Eugene Crawhaven, or to myself, I live in Madison Valley. I follow the public process done appropriate decision made by the governing body, it's more like a public interest. State law requires provide the public a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard. But just before I spoke, you passed a motion dealing with of a pilot program. Where is the public not being connected? With all due respect, whatever your motion did not provide details, numbers, and words. This reminds me of prior to my time of that famous Borough Ferry and that disaster. And why do I say that? Because originally, it was my understanding, there was a partnership between Anchorage and the Valley. That so-called partnership is not present here this afternoon, because look, the elected official mayor of Anchorage has not been present at the last 3 or 4 meetings. So how can we call this a cooperation between the municipality of Anchorage and the Madison Borough? It is not.
It's not supposed to be.
And the last thing is a good core of the so-called commuters. Where are they right now? They're going back and forth between Anchorage and the Valley. Are they connected? No. Do they have a chance to be heard? No. It's business as usual. But the fact is where is the information? I see a couple pages here talking about capitalization and doing this and that. But where's the numbers? Now, I was at three of the last four meetings. I heard a lot more numbers from before. Verbal, not writing. This is not the way to go. This is wrong. And this needs to be stopped. This meeting was illegitimate. This motion was illegitimate. And you, as members, I do like to credit one thing. I recognize Mayor Houston being present at all city council meetings, but where were the rest of you? Thank you.
Okay, anybody else in public before I go to the guys on the phone? Diane, did you want to say anything? It's up to you.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm Diane Woodruff. I'm a commuter, or will be very soon again, from Wesola. And very interested in this project, but I am also concerned, I'll actually echo one of Mr. Haberman's points, which is most of these meetings are held between 1 and 3 in the afternoon when all of the people who would be riding the train are at work. And so there hasn't yet been a lot of public engagement with the people that would be the ones that would be successful if it's actually put into place. And previous meetings, you know, we've kind of looked and we keep talking about computers too, and we really need to make this successful to look at the wider group. And I know, you know, first we want to just start with let's get from Wasilla to Anchorage and out to the airport, but really there has not been that engagement with the other groups. We talked about people from BP and other slope workers that might need to get to the airport. We've talked about veterans a little bit that might need to get into J-Bear. We've talked about students, we've talked about some other things, but there really hasn't been that engagement outreach. And I hope that somewhere in this process that there will be something like Ann Brooks or someone that DOT can contract with to maybe get the word out a little better to some of the other folks, and there will be meetings later in the evening. And that we don't forget that this is part of transportation, which is DOT's purview. This is not separate from what DOT does normally, because if we're going to build extra lanes on the highway, it's basically moving the same people, the same distance to the same places. So really, this could be part of all of that. We need to look at it holistically as we go, and I hope that this pilot project does in fact go forward, but in a way that does not guarantee its failure, and that would be my biggest concern, is that if we don't have the pieces in place on either end, if we have some folks dragging their feet that we've set this up for failure when it really should be a great project, and I would support it perfectly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
can I say one more
thing? Go ahead.
I really, really want to stress how important what you said was. That's super important. That's been my frustration for 35 years. The rail should be part of DOT's purview. It should be part of the program planning and funding. Not to criticize Ernie. Commuter rail should come from somewhere other than DOT program funds. It should have been in DOT program funds from the get-go. This railroad was built before the highway, okay? It should have always been part of it. That's what this book, Getting There, is about. It's about that whole issue, okay? So that's, anyway. I really am glad you said that for the record.
Thanks, Sam. Anybody else in the audience? Okay. Justin, did you want Justin, Alan, and Commissioner, do you guys want to say anything before we wrap up?
I just wanted to elaborate maybe a little bit on the point about the state running the service. In California, as I mentioned, the money ultimately comes from the state to run, but it was deemed that the JPAs would be a better vehicle to manage the service. In other words, they could make sure a JPA or local administration was identified as a better way to make sure that the needs of the communities served along the line are better handled than by a state agency. So in a way, it's a kind of a hybrid or a compromise that the state state continues to fund the program. The money for the subsidies comes from the state, but the locals manage it to make sure that it's responsive to the communities. And I just wanted to elaborate that thought.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. I like that idea too. But the problem here in Alaska is that rail has never been included in the state transportation plans, and the state rail plan was sent in, you know, 5 years out of date without being updated. The railroad had a lot of gripes about that. Those are the issues that have to be part of this whole thing.
Right, I understand. I understand.
Okay, thanks, Justin. Alan, you got anything? Nope. Okay, Commissioner.
Thanks for letting
us in. Thank you, sir. Ernie, you got any last? You got cleanup?
Nothing further. Just thank you very much.
Okay, so you'll work on the letter over the next couple. So we get the letter out sometime next week, and you'll send it to Colleen, and she'll distribute it to us.
I'll have it for you midweek.
All right. Anybody else before I shut it down? Okay, I show the time at 3:05 p.m. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.